live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, today's meeting of the MICA working group has ended with progress being reported. We'll hear from Paddy Diver of the 100% Redress No Less campaign. Minister Damien English, meanwhile, said earlier today it's disappointing that the initial redress scheme hasn't worked as well as it should have. He says the Defective Blocks working group is making progress and he expects changes to be announced in the near future. Ireland could be reporting up to 4,000 COVID cases per day in the coming weeks. That's the prospect put forward by the Taoiseach this afternoon. Meanwhile, ministers have approved guidelines for the reopening of indoor dining on Monday. The President has signed it into law. Later in the bulletin, we'll have sports news with Oisin. That's coming up at around about 5:15. All of that to follow. But first, this evening, an inquest into the death of Tyrone teenager Arlene Arnkinson has found she was murdered by convicted child killer and rapist Robert Howard. The 15-year-old disappeared in August 1994 after a night out in Bundoran in Donegal. She was last seen in a car driven by Howard. Her body has never been found. The coroner described the inquest as an exhaustive interrogation which has re-energised the investigation. Coroner Brian Sherrard said he hoped today's exercise will shed light rather than generate heat. After more than a decade of stop-start inquest hearings, members of Arlene Arkinson's family were in court today to hear the coroner deliver his findings. The BBC is reporting this evening that the coroner concluded that Robert Howard, a violent sex offender and the last person to be seen with Arlene on 14th of August 1994, was responsible for her death. The mechanism of death, he said, is unknown. Today's meeting of the MICA Defective Blocks Working Group has ended with progress being reported. Paddy Diver of the 100% Redress No Less campaign says agreement has been reached on scrapping the upfront costs of up to €7,000 to make an application and issues surrounding rent payments for temporary accommodation and the need for like planning permission are also being addressed. In a tweet this afternoon, he said he's anticipating further progress when the group meets again in 2 days' time. He said he understands people are frustrated at what can be the slow pace of the discussions, but he said they're going in the right direction.
The €6,000-€7,000 to get off a scheme, it's gone. Then we started getting on then as about bigger discussions. Then we started getting on to like state guarantees and the real 100%. Listen, they're a bit more complicated. So the next meeting now is going to be on Friday. The liaison office, that's more or less sorted. We'll chat about that again on Friday. Nothing's been said no yet, so we're going in the right direction. No use wish was faster, but listen, these things will be off the table, completely gone very shortly, and the ball will be rolling. So we're moving in the right direction.
And that was Paddy Diver speaking in a tweet after the meeting today of the Defective Blocks Working Group. Well, Minister Damien English says it's disappointing that the initial MICA redress scheme hasn't worked as well as it should have. Minister English was Minister of State for Housing when the 90-10 redress scheme was announced. He says the Defective Blocks Working Group is making progress and he expects changes to be announced in the near future. Minister English, who now has responsibility for state, for business, employment and retail, told Highland Radio earlier today the priority now is to get homes fixed.
I know for many families, Donal, this has been torch for a number of years, probably the last 7 or 8 years for many going through this process. Others are just starting it, they're just beginning to see the cracks. I was in a house last year that had no signs of MICA, and 12 months on, you can see the evidence. So the programme has to respond to all those different needs in our case as well. But I believe the engineering solutions are in place. It's just to tweak this scheme now to be able to serve the people right, and I'm confident that will be achieved.
A Donegal-based father of two has been found guilty of murdering his wife during a boating holiday in County Fermanagh. 44-year-old Stephen McKinney, a native of Strabane who'd been living in convoy with his family, had denied murdering Luna McKinney in April of 2017. Mrs. McKinney's body was recovered from Loch Earn beside a jetty on Devonish Island. Mr. McKinney had told police his wife had fallen into the water after going on deck to check mooring ropes. The BBC is reporting this evening that after listening to 12 weeks of evidence, the jury at Dungannon Crown Court took less than 2 hours to find him guilty of murder. He'll receive a mandatory life sentence with a minimum tariff to be set later. For the duration of the trial, McKinney had been living on bail in Fintana in County Tyrone. Ireland could be reporting up to 4,000 COVID cases per day in the coming weeks. That's according to Tánaiste Leo Varadkar, who said the country is now experiencing a fourth virus wave caused by the Delta strain. Leo Varadkar says he's concerned by the recent jump in cases, but he says the number of deaths will be lower compared to the wave in January because of the high level of vaccination.
You know, the reality is that we are facing into a situation where we will have several thousand cases a day. There will be hospitalizations and there will sadly be deaths as a consequence of COVID. But we are in a different phase of this pandemic. We have a population now where a lot of people are vaccinated, and the risk to them now, if they're fully vaccinated, is between 5 and 10% of what it was only a few months ago. That's how effective the vaccines are.
North of the border, 1,973 people tested positive for coronavirus over the course of the past 24 hours. It's the highest daily case total since January 6th. There have been two additional COVID-related deaths. 134 patients are being treated for coronavirus in hospitals north of the border, eight of them in ICU. Well, as expected, ministers today approved guidelines for the reopening of indoor dining from Monday. Time limits will be lifted and groups with unvaccinated children will be sitting 2 metres away from every other table. President Michael D. Higgins this afternoon signed necessary legislation into law. An app is being developed for restaurateurs and publicans to allow them check customers' vaccination status. However, the treasurer of the Donegal branch of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, Councillor Martin Harley, says there's still a lack of detail around how this will work.
Whether it's going to work and whether it's going to be workable, it's probably another issue. Most of the details of it are almost finalised, but there's still the details on people who are coming from Northern Ireland. It's not clear. There'll be an app that you can scan your COVID cert, or people can produce the cert on the paper form. But this will have to be done before the customers enter the premises. But you take, for instance, if a couple were staying in a hotel coming from Northern Ireland, they booked into a hotel, they can sit in the dining room in the hotel and have a meal. But if they want to go out to a pub or a restaurant in the same town, they can't do that.
We know that they're in the process of developing an equivalent of the COVID cert in Northern Ireland and the UK. Are there any discussions, or are you aware of any discussions about protocols that would allow that to be recognised here and allow that to be presented here, or has that been discussed much at all?
There's ongoing discussions still. I can get your cert and use your cert if I'm not vaccinated. So do we have to check for ID? Are we entitled to ask for ID? I mean, if it's a regular customer, we can say, well, we knew that person, but we've been told as well as that the HSA will be doing spot checks.
And that was Councillor Martin Harley, who's also Treasurer of the Vintners Federation of Ireland in Donegal. Well, around 150,000 people haven't got their digital COVID certs yet because of minimal or incorrect data about their vaccination status. So far, over 2 million certs have been issued, 1.1 million of them sent out by email. Extra agents are working on the government helpline today to help deal with the large number of calls from people who want to travel. The HSE's Damien McCallion says they are trying to clear the backlog.
We still have a small proportion, particularly going back to the very early days of the programme when there was pressure in hospitals, long-term care, healthcare workers and so on, and where minimal information maybe was provided or incorrect data maybe there that we're working through. Probably what we've left now is in around about 150,000 of those that we're working through. We have a team and that's reducing every day.
An Inishowen caravan and camping centre owner has heavily criticised Irish Water after what she says is a lack of communication over nighttime restrictions. On Monday, the utility said that specific nighttime restrictions were being put in place in a number of areas of East Donegal for the next week, with further restrictions likely in Clonmany, Carndonagh, Mallon and Lanealy. Well, Christina McElhinney of Binion Bay Caravan and Camping Centre near Clonmany says she didn't receive prior notice of the closure, leaving customers on her site without access to water between 8pm and 8am. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, she said the situation at the moment is ludicrous.
As a business customer, we received two texts on Monday, but we did not get the proper information that we needed, and I had to push for that this morning. And the proper information that we needed was, how long is this disruption going to continue? Now, here's the thing. When I pushed for the answer, telling them I have a couple hundred people on a caravan park who can't wash their hands when they use the toilet during a pandemic, which is absolutely ludicrous, and we're trying to organise tankers and tanks full of water and everything for hand washing. It is an intolerable situation, and it's most intolerable, Donal, if it is a fact that the water is being pumped out of here into other areas, and we're the area suffering, probably because we have least population. But our population probably triple, particularly in the good weather and during the staycation and during the summer. This is an intolerable situation. I mean, we've been suffering all of the impacts of the pandemic. Now we're suffering water shortages, the mismanagement in this country, the lack of consultation with the people. If they don't have the figures right whenever the population quadruples in this area, it's absolutely disgraceful. We're trying to grow our business. Every other business here has struggled now for the last 2 years. And as soon as we get up and running, the water is switched off. I am a very angry customer at this moment in time. I think it's disgusting and I think it's disgraceful the way that we are being treated in this North Innishowen area.
And that was Christina McElhinney. The British government is looking for significant changes to the Brexit protocol. It also wants what it calls a standstill period to facilitate negotiations. The Northern Secretary, Brandon Lewis, says there has been changes in trade between Britain and the North as companies change their supply lines. Brandon Lewis also claimed today there's been considerable disruption to everyday life in Northern Ireland. However, he said it's not the time to invoke Article 16.
These are very serious effects which have put people, businesses and the institutions of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement under strain. It is plainly clear that the circumstances exist to justify the use of Article 16. Nevertheless, we have concluded that this is not the right moment to do so. Instead, we see an opportunity to proceed differently, to find a new path.
Well, the Foreign Affairs Minister says the government and the EU will examine the UK proposals closely. However, Minister Simon Coveney insists any solutions must take place within the framework of the protocol and the principles that underpin it. The Bishop of Raphoe has announced a number of clerical changes for the diocese. The changes will take effect from the weekend of the 28th and 29th of August. With the details, here's Áine McGlinchey.
Bishop Alan McGaughian has announced that the Very Reverend Eddie Gallagher, Parish Priest Kilcar, will take up the role of Assistant Priest, Parish of Temple Crone, with residence in Letramacha Ward. While the Very Reverend William Peoples, PP Donegal Town, Tanwillie, will take over the role of Parish Priest Kilcar, and the Very Reverend Niall Corr, PP Ballintra, Drumholme, will replace Father Peoples as Parish Priest in Donegal Town. Reverend Adrian Gavigan, Curate, Letramacha Ward in Doohurry, will progress to the role of PP Ballintra, Drumholme, while Reverend Jonathan Flood, Chaplain, St Ewan's College and Curate, Glenswilly, will be granted leave for 1 year. Reverend Liam Boyle will move to be priest in residence in Glenswilly while remaining as chaplain at Letterkenny Institute of Technology.
Just some news which is breaking in. A further 1,378 COVID-19 cases reported in the Republic today. That's 1,378 new COVID-19 cases reported in the Republic. Those figures just made available to us.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's approaching 16 minutes past five. We say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with Gaelic Games, and Donegal will tonight start their Ulster Minor Championship campaign. One, of course, that they hope will be successful in going all the way to the final. If they're to get as far as this year's decider, they're going to have to play three games because they start in the preliminary round this evening. Antrim is the opposition for Donegal at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. Throw-in time there is at 8 o'clock. The Donegal manager is Luke Barrett. So what's his take on the opposition tonight?
I suppose I know a very little. My own personal experience with Antrim and minor squads, both as a player and as a coach, has not been very successful, and it's been quite disappointing. In 2017, obviously, we lost in the first round to Ballybuffet after extra time by a point, which was gut-wrenching at the time. And then as a player in 2011, I was involved where we were, you know, probably, look, the reality is we were outclassed that day. We probably didn't have the work done that we should have done. But so over the last 10 years, you know, Antrim have come to Ballybuffet twice, and again in 2016 we were lucky to get out of Corrigan Park. So I suppose there's a slight ignorance to the knowledge that everybody thinks that Antrim football maybe, you know, wouldn't be as strong. But, you know, in underage, the club structure up there is very good and the school's football up there is very good. So, you know, Antrim minors have historically been very, very strong, and their development squads are working away as well. So there's a real unknown. We don't know what's coming. We know there's a couple of players that have been really good in school's football over the last couple of years. And we know that the one game they played in the Buncrana Cup last year, they won convincingly against Antrim, so, or against Armagh. So in terms of that, it's very difficult. It has been very difficult to prepare.
as Donegal manager Luke Barrett, who start their minor Ulster Championship campaign tonight. Elsewhere, Mayo will be seeking to win a first Connacht Under-20 Football Championship title since 2018 this evening. The Westerners host Roscommon in the decider, where there's a 7:30 start in Castlebar. And on the ladies' front, Donegal are away from home tonight in the Ulster Minor Championship. They take on Tyrone, and that one throws in on Tyrone at 7:30 this evening. The Donegal CC say they hope to confirm the 2020 Donegal Senior Football Championship final and last year's intermediate relegation playoff by the end of the week. They met last evening to re-examine the draft fixture timetable, which was published back in May. It was the guide if Donegal went out at the semi-final stage of Ulster. Due to the continued high incidence of COVID cases across the county, the free weeks in August allowed to enable catch-up games to be played will now be fully utilised. Last year's senior final between Kilcar and Neave Connell and that intermediate relegation playoff between Neave Columbkill and Neave Ulton has been allocated the last weekend in August, with this year's Round 1 Championship games to take place on the weekend of the 10th to the 12th of September. Now, the likely scenario which has been envisaged by the CCC for the 2020 final is Saturday the 28th of August. However, they say that is not definite at this stage. They hope to officially confirm games this coming weekend. There's two matches penciled in for the Donegal All-County League this evening, with Ardrath taking on St Unan's in both Senior and Senior B. The reserve game starts at 6 o'clock, with the senior game away at 7:30. On the soccer front, there's matches tonight again in the Donegal Youth League. Starting at 7 o'clock, Cagey take on Swilly Rovers, while Kilmacrenan Celtic play Bunnagee United at the Letterkenny Community Centre, and Lagan Harps take on Milford United, while at 7:15, Ballyrain are playing Drumkeen. That one's been played at Errigal College. Four-time Olympic champions, the United States, suffered a first defeat in 45 games today. They lost 3-0 to Sweden in their opening Group G game of the women's football tournament at the Tokyo Olympics. The US haven't been beaten since January 2019, and they'll face New Zealand and Australia in their next two group games. Great Britain shooter Amber Hill has withdrawn from the games after testing positive for coronavirus in the UK. She was a finalist in Rio 2016 and is currently ranked number one in the world in her discipline. While it was announced today that Brisbane will host the games in 2032, the Australian city was the only bid to get through the International Olympic Committee's approval process. Three Donegal athletes have been named on the Ireland team for the under-18 track and field international meet in France at the end of the month. Livered Strabane's Aidan Gillen will throw in the hammer. Tyrconnell AC's Lucy McGlynn will run in the 100-metre hurdles. And Cranford's Oisin Kelly will take on the 800 metres. The event will take place on Saturday the 31st of July in Francoville, which is about 15 kilometres from the centre of Paris. The draw for next season's Champions Cup in rugby is taking place. Leinster and Ulster have been drawn in Pool A. The Blues will play their two pool matches against Montpellier and Bath, while Ulster are up against Clermont and Northampton. In Pool B, Munster will face Castries and Wasps, while Connacht will take on the Leicester Tigers and Stade Francais. The top eight sides from each 12-team pool will progress to the round of 16. Also in rugby, Jack Conan, Tadhg Furlong and Robbie Henshaw will all start for the Lions against South Africa in Saturday's opening test in Cape Town. Henshaw has been picked in midfield, while Furlong and Conan are both selected in the pack. Conor Murray and Tadhg Burner among the replacements, but there's no place in the matchday squad for Bundy Aki or Ian Henderson. Footagain Alwyn Jones will captain the team from the second row. The All-Ireland Junior Boat Angling Championships will take place next month in Rathmullen, and the competition will be officially launched by Minister Charlie McConlogue at Rathmullen Pier this coming Friday the 23rd of July. The event, which has been hosted by the Loch Swilly Junior Angling Club under the auspices of the Irish Federation of Sea Anglers, has been fixed for Friday August 21st. Headquarters for the Sea Angling Showpiece will be the Station House Hotel in Letterkenny, and around 40 anglers from the island of Ireland are expected to take part in the National Championships, which are for the under 16 and under 21 categories. Finally, Buncrana Golf Club will host the Highland Radio Open Scramble competition this coming weekend, Saturday the 24th and Sunday the 25th of July. Teams of four, any combination. For more details there on that event, contact Buncrana 07493 62279 or check out any of their social media channels as well. That's your sport for today, Donald.
Thank you, Washing. As part of an ongoing investigation into the activities of the new IRA, the PSNI has arrested two men and conducted a number of searches in Derry today. The two suspects, aged 23 and 28, have been detained under the Terrorism Act on suspicion of involvement in four assaults involving firearms that happened in the Creggan area of the city in January and February of this year. Police say the victims of those attacks suffered horrific injuries that will leave physical and mental scars and traumas that may never heal. The Taoiseach today paid tribute to former Minister and Progressive Democrats founder Des O'Malley, who has died at the age of 82. Mr O'Malley was heavily involved in the government's struggle against the IRA in the 1970s, introducing the Special Criminal Court for non-jury trials. With more, here's Sean Defoe.
Elected to the Dáil by the people of Limerick on 11 consecutive occasions, Des O'Malley was no stranger to doing things the hard way. Appointed Justice Minister in 1970 in the wake of the arms crisis, he developed a deep dislike for the then ousted Charlie Haughey that would see their two careers intertwine.
I was concerned about his judgment and that concern has never left me.
After Haughey's ascent to the Fianna Fáil leadership, O'Malley was involved in a number of failed moves against him, ultimately quitting cabinet in 1982 and being expelled from Fianna Fáil in 1985 over a vote on access to contraception.
I think the question of conduct unbecoming membership of the Fianna Fáil organisation is a fairly subjective concept.
He went on to found the Progressive Democrats.
Risks must be taken. For myself, I am prepared to take them.
But ultimately, in 1989, Des O'Malley proved a pragmatist, returning to cabinet when the PDs entered coalition with Haughey's Fianna Fáil. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has led the tributes to Des O'Malley, saying he faced down an illegitimate campaign of violence from the IRA as Justice Minister in the 70s and that his life was one of courage and consequence. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Isolated thunderstorms are expected in some areas this evening, while temperatures are expected to stay above 17 degrees tonight. Temperatures hit 30.1 degrees today in Mount Dillon, County Roscommon. A status orange alert remains in place for Cavan, Monaghan, South Leitrim, Roscommon, Longford and West Meath. Met Éireann meteorologist Elizabeth Coleman says the west and north may experience some thundershowers this evening.
Yeah, we had one isolated thunderstorm yesterday that developed quite late in the day. So today there's a chance of that happening again, and it'll be in the North Connacht or in the West Ulster area.
And looking at the forecast from Met Éireann, very warm in most areas this evening with spells of sunshine and a light southeasterly breeze. A few heavy and thundery showers in the north and northwest, leading to localised surface flooding. Some low cloud and mist along the north coast at times, humid and uncomfortably warm tonight with temperatures staying between 17 and 20 degrees Celsius in much of the area. Light southeasterly or variable breezes will allow some mist and fog patches to develop. Tomorrow again hot and dry with widespread sunshine, hazy at times. Highest temperatures tomorrow 27 to 30 degrees Celsius in light, occasionally moderate southeasterly breezes. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the headlines, and an inquest into the death of Tyrone teenager Arlene Arnkinson has found she was murdered by convicted child killer and rapist Robert Howard. The 15-year-old disappeared in August 1994 after a night out in Bundoran. She was last seen in a car driven by Howard. The BBC reports the coroner said that Robert Howard, a violent sex offender and the last person to be seen with Arlene on August 14th, 1994, was responsible for her death. The mechanism of her death is unknown. Today's meeting of the Defective Blocks Working Group has ended. Progress is being reported. Paddy Diver of the 100% Redress No Less campaign says agreement's been reached on scrapping upfront costs of up to €7,000 to make an application, and issues surrounding rent payments and the need for like-for-like planning permissions is also being addressed. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The eviction notices for this Wednesday evening, the 21st of July. The death has taken place of William Willie Boyce, Ballymaleel, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his home. Requiem Mass on Friday at 11 in St Mary's Church, Rumelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family with a maximum of 50 people. Rosary on Wednesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Funeral Mass and Rosary can be viewed online on churchservices.tv/Rimelton. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Pulmonary Rehab, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Sylvia O'Brien, Chapel Road, Dunloe. Her remains will repose in Madeline's funeral home until 8 o'clock this evening and again from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow. Funeral Mass in St. Cronan's Church, Dunloe, at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, with interment afterwards in Mahary Cemetery. Due to HSE and the government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Dunloe District Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Sean Madlin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Bree Diver, née Green, Carrickatascan, Derry Beg, and formerly of Ranafast. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Chapel, Derry Beg, on Friday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Lila Malloy, née Maguire, Kilclooney Portnew, and formerly of Donegal Town. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Connell's Church, Kilclooney, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, with interment afterwards in the Old Abbey Cemetery, Donegal Town, at approximately 1:15. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred in Folkestone, Kent, of Manus Boyle, formerly of Ilion, Aranmore Island. His remains are en route to Aranmore and will repose overnight in St Cronus Church. Funeral mass there tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the RNLI, care of any family member, or Sean Madlin, funeral director. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has occurred of PJ Sweeney, 48, McNeely Villas, Old Town, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass at 12 noon tomorrow in St Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Con MacDaid and Sons funeral directors.